All right. Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for November 3rd, 2025. This is the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. My name is Tim, and I am sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python that is designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you would like to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from them at adafruit.com. As always, this meeting gets hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join that anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold a meeting in the CircuitPython dev text channel as well as the CircuitPython voice channel. The meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, and we are working with a bi-weekly schedule right now, so every other Monday, 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific. If that coincides with a U.S. holiday, then we usually either will bump it to Tuesday or skip the week if it is a big holiday. And a note on the scheduling, I think tentatively right now the plan is to go back to weekly starting in December, although we do sometimes, as noted, have breaks for holiday and stuff like that. So there may still be a couple that we miss later in December, but we should be getting back to the weekly schedule here pretty soon. But we are still bi-weekly for the next couple. There is a shared notes doc that accompanies the meeting and the recording. You can contribute to that document ahead of time if you would like. There are sections in there for hug reports and status updates. We go through that note stock during the meeting. The meeting does tend to run about 30 to 60 minutes, sometimes more, sometimes less. Depends on how many people we have for those round-robin sections. After each meeting, we'll post a link to the note stock for the next meeting over in the Adafruit Discord in the CircuitPython dev channel. So you can look in the pinned messages there throughout the week or 2 weeks, as it is in this case, to find the link to the upcoming meeting notes document if you like to put stuff in there ahead of time. Right. The meeting is held in five parts. We got community news. We'll look at a couple items from the CircuitPython and Python on Hardware newsletter. Then we will get into the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka, take a look at some stats from across the project. And then we will start our two round robins. First one being hug reports. We can go around the room and give everyone an opportunity to highlight good things that folks are doing. We can take some time to recognize awesome folks in our community and beyond. Then we'll have status updates, our other round robin, where we can take a moment and talk about what we have been working on for the past couple of weeks since the last meeting, or what we plan on getting up to until the next meeting. And then we have fifth and final part of the meeting is in the weeds, which is an opportunity for some more long-form discussions. If anyone has in-the-weeds topics identified, go ahead and drop those in the section of the note stock that's labeled in-the-weeds. Just put a note with your name and whatever you like to discuss. And when we get down there at the end of the meeting, if we have topics, we will call on whoever's there, and we can have some more long-form discussions as needed. So that covers how the meeting will go. I will get us kicked off here with community news after I take the first timestamp. Community news. So first item this week, 2025 Hackaday Super Conference Communicator Badge is running MicroPython. Hackaday Super Conference was over this past weekend in Pasadena. The badge for Hackaday SuperCon, it was a rather powerful device supporting an ESP32-S3 with 8 megs of PS RAM and 16 megs of flash, had an LCD screen, an SX 1262 LoRa module, a LiPo battery charging, and a solder party custom keyboard. This device runs MicroPython with LVGL MicroPython running on the display for LVGL graphics. And there are links here to Hackaday, GitHub, and the Adafruit blog if you would like to learn more about the SuperCon badge. And there's also some cool videos coming out on SuperConference. I saw those come by YouTube this morning, so if you're interested in the talks and stuff there, I think there were some great ones. Check that stuff out as well for SuperCon news. Next up, we have the Arduino Uno Q, a hands-on. This is a video over on YouTube by Jeff Geerling. Jeff took a look at the Uno Q, called it, says that it's kind of a weird device with a bit of a weird use case, but also did explain a lot about what it is, what hardware it's got on, and just a really good sort of unboxing style overview of what this device is and what kinds of things you might be able to use it on and what kinds of things is it similar to or different from. So good all-round overview, comparison, contrasting that new Arduino Q hardware with some other devices. Check that out if that interests you. Next up, we have Python Foundation rejects a U.S. government grant with strings attached. The Python Software Foundation, PSF, has walked away from a $1.5 million U.S. government grant and can blame the Trump administration's war on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion for effectively weakening some open source security. So this was a grant that would have gone, as this notes, towards security work on Python, the language, and surrounding infrastructure, but there were some things that the foundation would have had to agree to essentially not advance at all the ideas of diversity, equity, or inclusion, which, if anyone knows sort of the core mission statement of the Python Software Foundation, that's pretty much the opposite of what the core mission statement says. So I'm sure it was a very difficult decision for them to make to walk away from that funding, and I'm sure they would have been able to put that funding to very good use, but I do appreciate that they stood behind their core mission statement in this case. Next up, we have the project of the week, hacking the GitHub Universe conference badge. Simon Wilson picked up a GitHub Universe Tufty Badger 2350 conference badge. It incorporates the Raspberry Pi RP2350B microcontroller, a battery, a color screen, a quick port, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, all with the software written in MicroPython. Simon used the available documentation as input to cloud to write a new systems information app for the device, along with an icon editor and REPL access. There are links here to Simon Wilson's blog and the Adafruit blog covering that as well. Some, I didn't include a picture of it, but it's got some real nice blocky text that caught my eye as I was scrolling through the newsletter this morning. So be sure to check that out, as well as all of the rest of the items in the newsletter. And actually, we do have one more. Sorry, I was getting ahead of myself a little bit. Last item that I pulled from the newsletter today was the CircuitPython Online IDE 2.2.1 has been released. So this is Riverwing's CircuitPython Online IDE. There's been a new release of that, 2.2.1, which features serial console enhancements and will now auto-reconnect after replugging the device, and there are more configuration options. You can head to circuitpy.dev for that IDE. All right, and then what I was getting ready to say is all of these items and many more came from the Python and Microcontrollers newsletter, which is a CircuitPython community-run newsletter emailed every Monday. The complete archives are available online. There's a link in the notes doc if you'd like to go see those. This newsletter highlights the latest in Python on hardware-related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. If you would like to contribute your own news or project, you can edit next week's draft on GitHub with a pull request, or I think actually we said email cpnews@adafruit.com is really the preferred way to go at this point. We'll probably update this document at some point. But yeah, cpnews@adafruit.com, send projects, news items, entries into the newsletter there, and they will get viewed by Anne. Thanks to Anne Hugreport for putting the wonderful newsletter together for us each week. Thanks to folks who do contribute ideas. There's always lots of great stuff in there, and I'm sure it's always very helpful to get some of that stuff coming in from the community. Next up, we will get into the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. So this section is a quantitative overview of the entire project. It gives us a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our status updates. So first, I will give you the overall stats, and then separately, we'll discuss the core, the libraries, and Blinka. And for the overall stats, I have separated them out. I have this week's stats and last week's stats, since we are doing the two-week meetings now, the bi-weekly meetings. But for the rest of the sections, I actually combined the numbers together. So this one is separate. The rest of them do represent the full 2-week period. So for overall, this week, we had 11 pull requests merged by 10 different authors. The names on that list that caught my eye as newer or less frequent or just less familiar to me, at least, for this week were Hellman7, IntGus, Supkick, AKGamerZ790, Rano99, Ross Satchel, and Nat Heyhey. I don't know the pronunciation on the last one or a couple of the others, to be honest, so my apologies if I messed up any of those, but thank you to those folks, as well as our more frequent contributors, whose names are very much more recognized by my eye. We had five reviewers, thanks to our reviewers this week, Scott, Anne, Dan, Maker Melissa, and myself. There were 11 issues closed by 8 people, 7 new issues opened up by 6 people. And then last week, the week ending 10/27, that was last Monday, there were also 11 pull requests merged overall, this time by 7 authors, and there were 2 names in there that were newer or caught my eye as unfamiliar. They were ZBite and Hirosan4049, so thanks to them, as well as the other names in this list, which I think we see here more frequently from week to week. There were 6 reviewers last week, thanks to Scott and Dan, Melissa, Liz, and myself. There were, issues-wise, 3 issues closed by 2 people, 13 issues opened up by 9 people. And that is it for the overall section. Next up, I will pass it over to Dan to give us some stats on the core.
Okay, thanks, Tim. So for the core in the past week only, is my understanding, there were 7 pull requests merged by 7 authors, and there were 2 reviewers, Scott and myself, and there were some also some pull requests merged in the previous week. So right now there are 22 open pull requests. I think there might be 21 actually right now. And over the past week, there were 4 issues closed by 3 people and 4 open by 4 people. So we have about 820-ish open issues right now in the CircuitPython core. They're divided up into milestones, which says like when we would like to fix certain things by when. We have 9 issues open in the 10.0x milestone, 2 open for 10.1.0, and 83 open for 10.x.x. Those are all things that we want to fix sometime in the 10 release cycle, and the earlier ones are sooner. Then we've got 9 open issues for 11, and those are deferred until 11 for various reasons, often because it's a really major change of some kind, or we're deprecating something in stages, and it's going to get finished in 11, that kind of thing. So there are 661 open issues still, and there are various other categories like library support and third party that have 15 to 20 issues each. And there are 2 issues not assigned a milestone. I will check on that and triage them and put them in the right milestone. Okay, and that is it for the CircuitPython core.
Alrighty, thanks, Dan. And I will note as well those stats. They were the last 2 weeks. I just combined them together. Unlike overview, I left separate just because there were so many names. The rest of the sections, though, I did grab stats for both weeks and just combined them together. So that's what we have. That's what we just had for the core. And then up next is libraries, which I'll tell you about. This section covers all of the Adafruit libraries. There are 379 Adafruit libraries right now and 170 community libraries for a total of 549. Those are in, of course, the Adafruit library bundle and the community library bundle. There, over the past 2 weeks, there were 13 pull requests merged by 8 different authors and 6 different reviewers. Thanks again to the names mentioned before. A couple of them were on the lists here as newer or less frequent contributors. Of the merged pull requests, the oldest one was 138 days, and then the newest ones were down at 1 day. I will say I didn't pull in the pull request links, so this, the links-wise, these are just the last week. Only authors, pull requests, and reviewers. I pulled in stats for the 2 weeks. That leaves us right now in library land with 52 open pull requests. The oldest one is hanging on at 1,173 days right now. Newest one is only a day old. Over the past week, we had 6 closed issues by 4 people and 2 new issues opened up by 2 people, leaving us with 752 issues currently across all of the Adafruit libraries. And one of them right now is labeled as a good first issue. You could find it over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is the website where you should head if you want to get involved with CircuitPython. When you first load that page, circuitpython.org/contributing, again, is the URL, you're going to find a list of open pull requests. These are links over to GitHub. They're waiting for a person to review that pull request, which tends to be the place where we first point folks who want to get involved. So you can go through that list, find a, you know, a link there that is either a piece of hardware that you have an interest in or that you actually have a device for. You can click through to GitHub, read the, you know, comments in the pull request, figure out what it was resolving, whether that was fixing a bug or adding a new feature. If you do have the hardware, you can test out the updated code, the proposed change to the library. You can test that on the hardware. Leave a comment there on GitHub letting us know how it went. If you don't have the hardware, you can still take a look anyway. That's fine as well. You can just look through the code either there on GitHub or you can clone it locally. Take a look through it for spelling, syntax, logic issues, anything like that. And just leave a comment on GitHub letting us know that you took a look and what you found. If you get comfortable with that process and you'd like to get leveled up to leave official reviews over on GitHub as part of our teams there, we can work with you to make that happen. If you would like to start contributing some of your own code rather than reviewing, you can also do that from circuitpython.org/contributing. Along the top, top of the page, if you look for the issues link and click over to that, you are going to see a list that looks visually similar. These are still links over to GitHub, but these ones represent issues. There is no proposed change yet. They're actually waiting for a person to come along and be interested in making that proposed change, and that could be you if you would like to get involved in CircuitPython. So again, you would look through that list of issues, find something that's interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub, read about what the issue is, and that could be, you know, fixing a bug, adding an enhancement, maybe a new feature or a new example, something like that. And then you can submit a pull request to resolve that issue. We do have a learn guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are more than happy to help you out here in the Discord. So if you would like to contribute and you are having trouble with any part of the process, whether it is version control or pre-commit or any of the actions or anything like that, just come say hi on Discord. Let us know what you're up to. We would be happy to help you out. In terms of new libraries over the last week, we had the STH-S34PF80 library, driver library, and then there are some updated libraries that are linked here in the notes doc as well if you'd like to find those. And that is it for the libraries this week. Next up, I will tell you about Blinka. So Blinka is our compatibility layer for CircuitPython so that it can run CircuitPython code on single board computers like the Raspberry Pi. This covers a number of different Blinka repositories. And over the past 2 weeks, we had two pull requests merged across those Blinka repos. There were 2 authors, Maker Melissa and ZByte, thanks to them, and 2 reviewers, Dan and Melissa. There are currently 17 pull requests open. Issues-wise, there was 1 issue closed by 1 person, 1 new issue opened up, and there are currently 136 open issues across Blinka and the other repos, or that may just be the main repo. I'm not actually sure if that one covers all of them or not. And then the number of supported boards right now is 166 different devices that can run the Blinka compatibility layer. All right, that is it for the overview section here. Next up, we will get into our round robins, first being Hug Reports. As a reminder, Hug Reports is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I will start, then we'll go down the list as folks appear in the notes doc. Take a moment and just let us know who you've got Hug Reports when I call on you. For me, thanks to Anne for improvements to the 286 emulator guide that I worked on, as well as some disk images that were better than the ones that I had found initially, as well as just general all sorts of help on 286 related stuff. Really appreciated Anne. Next up for me, thanks to Retired Wizard for improvements to the Fruit Jam Logic Gate Simulator that I worked on a couple of weeks back. Retired Wizard added some new functionality like transmitter receivers so that it makes it easier to make more complex simulations because you can now kind of jump the wire out of tight spaces and move it around a little bit more easily. So really, really cool stuff. Thanks to them for that. I forgot to take a timestamp for myself, but I will take the next timestamp now and pass it over to Dan for his side reports.
Okay, so I'd like to thank Scott. We had some discussions last week on an SD card bug that I was working on and how to approach that. And then also we talked about some work that I'm going to be doing on Wi-Fi coprocessor support, and I'll talk about that in status updates. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Next up and last for the Hug Reports is Scott. He's out today, so I'll read his. Scott has a Hug Report for the folks on the embedded.fm Slack for pointers on where to get DSI displays. Right, and that brings us to status updates, our next round robin. During status updates, we can take a moment to tell folks what we've been up to individually. Again, I'll start, then we'll go through the list as folks appear in the notes doc. When I call on you, you can take a couple of minutes to tell us what you've been up to for the last couple of weeks and what you'll be doing for the next couple of weeks until the next meeting. If a discussion becomes too long, we can always bump that down to in the weeds to make a more long-form discussion out of it if need be. So I will kick us off with a timestamp this time. For my status updates, I updated the 286 emulator and the Fruit Jam Logic Gates guide with those improvements from both Anne and Retired Wizard, respectively, that I mentioned before. I wrote the code and the guide for using edge models on the Raspberry Pi 5 for translation and multilingual text-to-speech. And I went back and did a little bit of updating in the guide to make it a bit more general and to support both the speaker bonnet and the voice bonnet. I had used the older device, the voice bonnet, when I had started, but that is actually discontinued now. So I swapped that over, made sure everything worked with the speaker bonnet, and updated the guide so that it makes sense no matter which one you're using. I finished converting the CircuitPython requests library tests to use either local web servers or the Adafruit Quotes API instead of third-party servers, which sometimes are offline during the tests and cause the test to fail. So this way, it kind of hopefully removes a point of failure or at least moves it from some third party we don't control to something that is actually, essentially ours on some level. So that PR is in. I did see a little while ago there was a review on that. I should say belated Hug Report, thanks to Justin Myers for the review there. So I think I have a couple more changes to put in, but that is looking good. And then lastly for me, I wrote the code for a pixel-fed .social image viewer for the Fruit Jam. This is a alternative to other image-based social media websites. This one is sort of federated, somewhat like Mastodon, but it's focused around images. So this is just a relatively basic Fruit Jam app that can download those images and show them on the display. So I will be finishing that up and writing a guide for it next. So next up, I will pass it over to Dan.
All right. So I've been working for several days on a bug that manifested on Espressif, where if you mounted an SD card manually, like in code.py, then it would, our new auto presentation feature that's in CircuitPython 10 makes it show up as a USB drive that you can then copy to and from, depending on the permissions. But it was causing a problem that when the program ended, it would get disconnected from USB, and there were some other odd problems too. So I started working on that, and I ended up fixing like four or five different things that might have caused that problem. There was one really crucial thing, but there were a bunch of things that there were a bunch of potential race conditions also. And so I ended up fixing quite a few bugs, and that has now been merged in and will be in the next 10.1 beta. And it seemed to be particular to Espressif in the terms of how it manifested, but actually a lot of these changes were across all possible platforms. So we'll see what happens with other bug reports that look like this bug. So the next thing I'm working on is I'm taking a break from working on just bugs for a while, and I'm going to work on turning the ESP32 SPI library, which is in Python and talks to Wi-Fi coprocessors like ESP32 and ESP32C6. I want to turn that into a native module, which will probably make it faster and also maybe have some other advantages, and like it's built in. And it's a question about what the API we want talking to these coprocessors is. So right now we're using this NinaFW software, which is originally created by Arduino. We've forked it a long time ago, but ours is largely compatible with the Arduino code. And so ESP32, and also the level at which it's done is a little bit different than the typical socket layer in Python. There are some abstractions at slightly different levels, so it makes it a little hard to just substitute wholesale. So I want to look and see whether we should consider, you know, a different API, more one that's more like the Wi-Fi API that does native support on Espressif and uses the coprocessor on Pico W, Raspberry Pi Pico W. And maybe we'll do both of the things. I'll probably start by just doing the ESP32 SPI and then think about either a wrapper library in Python or maybe a different C API for this. So that's what I'm going to be working on for a while after this. And I'll also be working on various other things too. And probably there'll be another release of 10.1.0, a beta 1, in the next day or two. And that's what's up with me.
Alrighty, thanks, Dan. Next up and last for the status updates is Scott. I'll read Scott's again. So Scott is going to PR MIPI DSI module for DSI display support on the ESP32P4. This will be experimental, so anyone who wants to test it out, be warned, may or may not work. We're looking for feedback on what you find if you do try it out. So that will be experimental until we get a bunch of boards working with it, Scott says. Next up, Scott mentioned that he is out November 5th through the 11th on vacation, and then is currently planning to get back into work more full-time starting in December. We'll welcome him back when that happens. And that is it for status updates. We do not currently have any in the weeds topics, but if we did, we would discuss them here. So that will bring us right along to the wrap-up. This has been the CircuitPython weekly meeting again for November 3rd, 2025. Thanks to everyone who participated. Again, if you want to help support Adafruit and CircuitPython, and those of us that work on CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of this meeting will get released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit, and the podcast will be made available on major podcast services. It will also be featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, which you can visit adafruitdaily.com in order to subscribe to that. The next meeting, as noted, is in 2 weeks. That's going to be on November 17th, and it will be at the normal time, 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific on November 17th. As always, the meeting is held on the Adafruit Discord, which you can join by going to adafru.it/discord. If you would like to be notified about the meeting and any changes to the day or time, you can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonista's role. And that is it for the meeting. Thanks, everyone. We hope to see you all next week, and have a good week.